Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made for Chicago real estate brokers by Chicago real estate brokers. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show, and this is our first interview of 2019. So happy new year, everyone. And we have Josh Lipton, who we're going to be bringing on in just a few moments. Before we get to Josh, a couple of quick points. We were recently listed in a website's list of very best real estate podcasts. So we're really honored and grateful to have been included. And thank you if someone submitted us, and we appreciate that, or however they found us, it's great. And we do get a lot of fan emails and support from all over the country. So if you're not in the Chicagoland area, please keep listening, because the lessons and strategies that you're hearing from Chicago brokers can apply anywhere else that you're practicing real estate. Also, please remember, you can always find us in every episode we've ever done on our website, keepingitrealpod.com. Also, please like us on Facebook. We post links to every episode, as well as links to some of the items we discuss in each episode on our Facebook page. So do a search for Keeping It Real Pod. That is us as well. And remember to tell a friend. We have grown this audience, spending no money on marketing, only through the ears of our listeners, who then are nice enough to tell other people about the show. So please continue to do that. We really greatly appreciate it. And our show continues to increase in popularity. So thank you to everyone who listens and shares. And now on to our interview with Josh Lipton. Today on the show, we have Compass Realtor Josh Lipton. Since entering the real estate business in 2014, Josh has quickly transcended from being named Rookie of the Year by Chicago Association of Realtors in the city of Chicago to a top 1% producer by his third year in the business. Now, with almost 5 years experience in the industry, Lipton has closed 140 real estate transactions, representing more than $80 million in sales, placing him in the top 1% of all agents in Chicago by Chicago Association of Realtors. And in 2018, was selected by Cranes as one of the most influential real estate brokers in Chicago. 2018, Lipton closed 40 transactions, totaling nearly $27 million in sales, and finished as the number 16th top producing agent within Compass and its 550 agents in Chicago. As a licensed attorney with experience in real estate capital markets and private equity, Josh is armed with a unique skill set, has built a reputation as a resourceful agent with a vast network and ability to identify off-market listings and development opportunities for his residential and commercial clients who are looking at both established and emerging neighborhoods throughout Chicago. Josh and his wife, Jordan, reside in Roscoe Village, who are proud parents to their five-month-old daughter, Lenny. So welcome, Josh.
Hey, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We should also tell listeners how we met, because this is kind of a funny story. My mother was in town for business, and we met at an Italian restaurant. And I was late, and you were also not there. But my mom started chatting up your mother and your father, who just happened to be sitting in the bar waiting for their table. And then I started talking to your parents, and your dad asked me what I did, and then he said, "Oh, my son's in real estate." And then you walked in a few minutes later. And then coincidentally, Josh goes, "Oh yeah, I think you guys had reached out to me to be on the podcast." And so here we are. I mean, it was just, that was a really wild coincidence.
Yeah. And I like to refer to that as the collisions of life. And coincidentally, that's similar to how I've actually met some of my best clients to this day. Just when you're least expecting it, just randomly start chatting somebody up at the bar. But I guess I could tell you now, DJ, yes, you were late and I was later than you, but that was actually all staged. I intentionally had my parents start talking to you, and I knew exactly who you were. They knew who you were.
Yes.
Mission accomplished, because here we are a week later. I'm on your show. That was all set up. I'm glad you like to think it was a coincidence, but it worked out perfectly. So.
Well, I will say on you and your siblings' behalf, because I met your brother and your sister as well, and your brother, I think, flew in from California. And the reason everyone was there was it was your mom's birthday.
Yes.
And it was actually very sweet. And I will tell you, before you got there, she was so excited that you guys were coming to celebrate. And anyway, it was actually really kind of fun to watch. And then you walked in, and then we were just talking before, and your sister and I looked at each other, and we feel like we had even met before, although we haven't figured out how we had. But anyway, let's talk about you. Obviously, this is really excited to have you on the show, and we had reached out even before. And tell us, how did you get involved in real estate? What's your background there?
Yeah, sure. Well, coming out of college, I'll give you the cliff notes here.
Sure.
I graduated from business school down in Bloomington, in Indiana. So naturally, I followed the finance path and found myself working in banking in Chicago for J.P. Morgan.
Sure.
And then I took an opportunity in Manhattan where I was working for a company called Madison Realty Capital. It's a real estate private equity fund. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2008. Things were great until, come 2009. I don't know if you've heard this, but the market kind of took a dip
and, I had
found myself out of work and, there weren't many jobs we had at that time. So I, decided to go back to law school, which was always in the cards, but I didn't really want to do it straight out of college. Wanted to get a little life experience, work experience, and kind of understand why I want to do it, not just do it to prolong working. Although sure. At the time, it seemed like a great idea. So I did just that and actually went back to Bloomington and got my law degree. I graduated in the top of my class thinking that, here I was with great work experience prior to law school. Now I'm a lawyer. I'm going to move back to Chicago. Everybody's going to want to hire me. I'm going to write my own ticket.
Sure.
2012, graduate law school in arguably one of the worst legal economies in the history of the profession, and couldn't find a job in the traditional law firms. So I started calling my contacts from my previous days in banking and private equity, and ended up working in a dual capacity role at Cantor Fitzgerald in Chicago in their sure. CMBS group, where here I was, half deal guy, also a lawyer, so I could handle third party legal diligence. So that translates into about 120 hours, of work a week, sitting at a desk all day,
sure.
working for the man and all the corporate nonsense that comes with it, really having no quality of life and dreading getting up in the morning every day to go to the office. One day I was kind of burned out, sitting at my desk, and one of my colleagues is like, "Man, you'd be really good at selling residential real estate." I kind of laughed it off because I never really thought of that.
Sure.
Though I had a lot of friends in the industry who did, and I'd constantly be sending them referrals, like, "Oh, call him, call her,"
right?
And not realizing how much money I was just giving away. So my buddy at work told me, which I didn't know, he's like, "Oh, you're a licensed attorney, so you're exempt from all the classes.
Yeah, you just go straight to take the test."
Yeah, he's like, "You just take the exam and do it." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." So I, from my desk, it was on a Wednesday. I remember vividly. I Googled Chicago real estate exam, signed up to take it on a Friday, thinking, I won't pass it, but at least I'll know how to prepare if this is something right. I actually want to do. So I take it on Friday. Somehow I passed and quit my job on a Monday.
Wow.
Jumped right in, joined a top producing team, and really haven't looked back since. It's definitely proven to be one of the best decisions I made. And it was definitely a leap of faith at the time, and kind of just went on a whim and a life epiphany, but couldn't be happier that I did it.
Well, we really should go back to the Carr Rookie of the Year award, because that is such a big deal. For those who are listening who maybe are members of a different organization, if you're a realtor, you might be with Main Street or North Shore Barrington. Carr is the biggest one here in the city, and thousands of brokers join it every year who are rookies. And for you to achieve that award is a huge, huge, huge deal. I can't overstate that to our listeners. So everything Josh says going forward, listen and do, because he was able to knock it out of the park in his very first year. And of course, every year since as well. But to be even in a top 1% or by year 3 is incredible. And out of all the people we've interviewed on the show, all of them who are top 1%ers, Very few of them made it within their first three years. So huge congratulations to you, which obviously you already know how big a deal that is, but just want to make sure the listeners can really appreciate that. But let's talk about your early days when you first started. How did you go about finding clients? I mean, you don't have the traditional real estate background. You didn't grow up wanting to do this necessarily. So how did you build your business?
So one of the first things I did when I first jumped in, and here I was, I didn't know how to get clients.
Sure.
I had a big network and I ran in many different circles, but generating business, people buying, selling, renting homes was challenging. So I actually had this idea at the time where I would go back to where I went to college in Bloomington and other Big Ten universities, and I would go speak at fraternities and sororities. I started at mine. Then I went next door and I worked my way down,
just went down Jordan Avenue with all the fraternities.
Ah, you're familiar.
Of course.
Jordan. Yeah. And it was the easiest pitch ever, because if you think about it, the Big Ten, specifically Indiana, of course, Michigan, sure, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, all these schools, what percent of graduating seniors already know that they're moving to Chicago? They would accept a job in Chicago. But here they are, 3-4 hours away, just far enough away where they're not going to come in on the weekend to look at apartments. They don't know where they're going to live. And I would go speak, on Sunday, I'd order some pizzas. I'd bring in some beer and only allow the ones who are of age.
of course.
And ask for 5 minutes to get up in front of everybody and, just say, hey, here I am. My name's Josh Lipton. I'm a real estate agent. You're here, you're moving to Chicago. You need to find a place now, because they don't know how it works.
Of course.
Let me be your eyes and ears. You don't even have to come into the city. I could send you listings. Tell me what you're looking for, where you want to be, what you want to pay. Do you have a roommate? Yada, yada. I'd get all the criteria. And, then they would come in for a weekend. I'd line everything up and, we'd land a great apartment, because otherwise, if they wait till they graduate in, June or July, everything's already picked over. They're going to end up overpaying for something that doesn't check all their boxes in neighborhoods they don't want to be in. And the best part about it is, hey, this is free. You don't pay me anything. I'm getting paid by the buildings.
Right.
I'm getting paid by the landlord and the owner. Let me do everything for you. Let me find you the best place, the best deal. And you sit here and enjoy your last semester of college and know that you have an awesome place to live when you come back. So I did that. And it was a huge success. And, getting up and speaking in front of 100 girls at a sorority.
That's something that
pass around a sign-in sheet, get everybody's name and number, and follow up. And my first 6 months in the business, I knocked out 76 rentals.
Unbelievable.
And what people don't realize, people kind of scoff at rentals, but renters turn into buyers, buyers turn into sellers, and that's how you. That's how you grow your business. And even to this day, I don't, I'll take a rental every day if I can, but, I don't do many rentals anymore. But, you got to remember it's a relationship business, and people remember, the service you provided on the rental side. And when they're ready to buy their first home, who do you think they're calling? And then when they're ready for a step up home, they're ready to sell their other one, you're top of mind. And, things just kind of took off from there and evolved from there. And it was such a simple no-brainer concept, and it was fun too.
Yeah, that's such a great strategy. That's really, really smart. And we are, I think it's easy for people listening who are brokers to forget how lucky and fortunate we are that we live in a city that number one has the ability to do rentals and make a living, but also, and you've been in New York, it does not work that way in New York. If you're working with a broker, you're paying, the renter is paying that commission. Whereas we're lucky here where it's the property management company or the owner that's paying the commission, the renter, doesn't pay. So that's a really important point.
Not a very difficult sale.
No, it shouldn't be. Very smart. And I wish almost every single person we've interviewed on the show started out doing rentals in some capacity, because of course they didn't have a ton of friends that were buying and selling right away. So, and then, obviously those people, like you said, turn into buyers and then buyers turn into sellers. So, brilliant. But, but prior to being a broker, you talked about being in banking, in private equity, obviously going then on to become an attorney. How has your experience and the legal education you had helped you in your career as a realtor? Has there been any connections you've made there?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think any education, whether that's an MBA or a JD or other designations or certifications, I think they all help. I think they all add value. Anything you do to set yourself apart and put something behind your name, and the credential has certainly, if anything, gives you credibility. It makes you stand out amongst other realtors, and life experience too. There's nothing more valuable than that. And previously, when I was working more on the banking side in private equity, I was working on much larger 10, 20, 30, $40 million commercial sure. transactions, multifamily, office, retail. So that, having that skill set too, allows me to kind of look at deals and analyze deals through a different lens. When I'm, working with a developer or a builder who's looking for a particular piece of land, being able to, look at it and see its true potential and what you could build, or a value add opportunity where, maybe changing the zoning and adding a few floors or yada yada. It just, offers a different perspective that, affords me the opportunity to kind of work with a wider clientele, not just buyers and sellers, but also, investors, builders, developers, and then the legal component too. I think certainly, if anything, it teaches you how to think, it trains you how to think objectively, right. And there's many synergies between being in real estate and law, especially with agency and contracts, and it definitely has benefited me greatly.
I was curious to note is, and I don't know how much, depends on the type of law that one would practice, but would any of the negotiation skills used when you were practicing law, as a full-time career, have any of those translated over?
Yes, I think so. Of course I can't, give away all my secrets here.
Sure, but, of course.
No, I think again, just, being able to think objectively and strategically, right. While maintaining obviously ethics and morals, it certainly benefited me in dual agency roles where I'm representing the buyer and the seller,
sure.
In terms of putting up the Chinese wall there. And I think, sometimes buyers or sellers are uncomfortable with the dual representation, but
sure.
Then, them knowing that I am a lawyer as well,
right.
And it held, to that level of professionalism as well. If anybody could do it, they know that I know the boundaries on that and how to represent both interests, equally.
Yeah. So, well, and I think, talking about your clients, your business, and you and I talked about this actually at the restaurant was, briefly, we talked about, how you've built your business. And I know that it's, it's largely driven by referrals and repeat clients, and you spend essentially no money, very little money on traditional marketing efforts. For example, a lot of brokers, purchase, Zillow, Trulia, Leads, Realtor.com, Leads, et cetera. You really don't do that. How have you been able to continue that upward trajectory as opposed to other, brokers who that's where they focus their, their marketing dollars? How have you been able to sort of do it without that?
Yeah. So, at the end of the day, everybody has their own style, and what works for me might not work for somebody else, and vice versa. And early on in my career, I did dabble a little bit in buying Zillow leads for a short time. And actually, from an ROI standpoint, I did very well in converting them.
Sure.
It's just I didn't really enjoy the practice, and having to wait for that call and then trying to establish a rapport and look up the property real quick and try to
right.
Convert it to a warm lead. I prefer growing my business organically through my own sphere of influence and past clients, and really just double down on those relationships and call people that already know me, like me, trust me, rather than spending thousands of dollars a month buying internet leads, which can be very very, you can make a lot of money doing it. I know sure. a lot of people that do, and good for them. They've mastered the craft. And like I said, what works for them and it doesn't necessarily work for me. But you know, I'd rather than spending that money every month, you know, I'd rather take a bunch of clients out to dinner. You know, call an old client just to catch up, not even looking for business. Go buy them a steak, you know, take them to a ball game. You know, send them really thoughtful, personalized gifts, because you know the little things are what clients remember. And you know, also too, you know, aside from you know always staying front and center, you know, during the transaction, you know, after the transaction, it's most important.
Absolutely.
You know, just staying in their lives and being a part of their lives. And you know, it's funny, to this day, you know, a few of my best friends actually started off as clients who either were referrals or actually one I met in the lobby of my building at the time where I was renting several years ago, and we struck it up. He actually was with another agent at the time, and wasn't having the best experience. So he asked me for my card and called me later. And fast forward about 2 years, he stood up at my wedding.
Oh my gosh. That's that is amazing. I think too, it's, I'll give a quick tip, and this is actually courtesy of Ryan D'April, who does a monthly coaching episode with us. He gave such a great suggestion. If brokers who are listening are wondering, well, gosh, you know, staying in touch with someone after the sale in theory is really great, but what do I say when I call? And Ryan had a great suggestion that is probably, I don't know why it would have never occurred to me. But he said, if you don't, you know, have a reason to call somebody, he goes, if you're connected with them on social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, you know, go through, see what they've been up to. In particular, like LinkedIn's a good one, because if there's a new career change, usually that's highlighted. But just see what they've been doing in their lives and then call them. And for example, I just saw that the owner of our company, his wife just had an emergency appendix removal a couple of days ago, and he didn't even say anything to us at the time. But I saw that she did. And so I immediately reached out because we're friends as well. But I said, oh my gosh, Natalie is in the hospital. And again, you probably want to call with more for other reasons that are more positive. But that's a great technique if you're not sure, oh gosh, I sold this person a home 3 years ago, I don't really know what's going on in their life. Go online and see if you can find some events and then call them and say, hey, I just saw you did X, Y, and Z. I just wanted to reach out and say, you know, how you doing? And blah, blah,
so that,
blah.
That is a great idea. And I actually remember listening to Ryan's episode on that. And yeah, you know, piggybacking his idea, let me take it a step further in the new direction on your next episode. So you can actually through Facebook, because as you know, you have thousands of Facebook friends, though you probably only know about 20% of them.
Right.
So
exactly.
You spend so much time just sorting through, you know, looking at everybody's updates and posts, and you're like, God, how do I know that person? Or you don't even know them. So you have the ability on Facebook to create lists. So you can create lists only of people that you want to see. So you could put all your clients and business partners, and anybody that you either do business with, want to do business with, or think you might do business one day, and make it so you only see their feeds. So then you really know what's going on in their lives, and you don't miss it when you're sorting through the hundreds of other feeds that, you know, people that you don't really care what's going on in their life because you don't have a relationship.
Oh, that's such a great idea. That really takes that suggestion to the next level. So thank you for that. And I will be referencing you on future episodes because that's awesome. Aside from what we've already talked about, what is something about you? This is putting you a little bit on the spot, but what's something that most people don't know about you or would be surprised to learn about your business?
I think most people are surprised by really how much, you know, this is buyers and sellers, you know, how much I enjoy and you know, get into it and get you know, hands-on approach with the whole design build element. And you know, being able to really walk into a listing and see its true potential. You know, whether that means, you know, light upgrades or, you know, full gut renovations. You know, I offer that insight. This might have something to do with, you know, growing up the son of an interior designer, kind of grew up around it.
Right. But, that's your mom does, isn't it?
There's certainly buyers out there who, you know, want to buy something turnkey or brand new where they don't have to lift a finger or do any work. You know, but for the buyers who are willing to get their hands dirty, you know, I tell them you could either buy someone else's value that they already added, or you could add it yourself and make it your own, you know, in the process and doing so. So, you know, whether that's for a buyer after a purchase or, you know, when I'm prepping a listing to sell, when I walk through, you know, I'm in the trenches every day. So I know what buyers like and what they don't like and, you know, where they're going to push back and, you know, kind of knack listing down. And, you know, I like to, you know, go in there and, you know, suggest anything from, you know, light renovations to the countertops or floors or, you know, just making the listing as showroom ready as possible. And then, you know, in doing so, you're maximizing the value. So, you know, if there, of course, every seller out there, you know, one of the struggles is, you know, every seller thinks that their home is worth more than it actually is, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, sometimes you have to spend money to make money. And, you know, after we do it, you know, sellers, I was like, man, I wish I would have done this sooner so I could actually enjoyed it.
But, sure.
You know, if another adage I like to say is, you know, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. And I think this past year I had at least five or six pretty much full on gut renovations where it's one of those situations where I was like, all right, well, if we list today, you can sell it for X. Though if you spend, you know, however much comes to, you can sell it for Y. And seeing it on paper, you know, it's kind of one of those like aha moments. And you know, sellers, you know, totally place their trust and confidence in me. In my ability to, you know, really maximize the value and see its true potential. And, you know, then you could really tell the story of the value you added when you're going to sell it. You know, always make sure to take a lot of pictures before, you know, the before and after, so you could justify why you're selling it for X amount more. Because otherwise, a buyer's just going to walk in and be like, all right, so I see what it looked like when you bought it. It looks the exact same. You didn't do anything aside from maybe a little market appreciation. What justifies you looking for this number? So the reality is too, is not only are you going to sell it for more money, but you're going to sell it quicker. So less carrying costs and, you know, in and out of the deal, a lot faster.
And, you know, if you're a realtor out there listening to this episode and you're hearing what Josh is talking about, and again, Josh has only been a producing realtor for 5 years, so he's accumulated. And again, you had some of this information from previous careers, but really, you know, you learn this very quickly and very successfully. And if you're a realtor listening and you don't have this information, you know, just imagine going up against Josh in a listing presentation. He's going to win because he knows some of this. So I would encourage everyone listening to really develop that skill set of knowing how to walk into a home and saying, okay, here are the five things that absolutely need to be done, and being able to justify whether it's a full gut rehab or just, you know, replacing you know, a door or a window or some flooring.
Right. And taking, you know, just going on that too. You know, when we're having those conversations and trying to decide, should we do this or should we not do this?
Right.
I like to live kind of, you know, it's 80-20 rule. I didn't invent this, obviously. You know, I like to ask the seller or tell the seller, well, you know, it's, if 100 people walk through that door, as long as 80 people are going to walk and be like, oh, wow, you know, I like that paint color. I like those new counters. That light fixture is great. Then do it. You know, if it's questionable, you're not sure, then, you know, don't do it.
Yeah. Agreed.
And also, something you got to keep in mind, this is actually kind of funny. You know, when we're doing this, sometimes like, oh, I don't really like that. You know, I don't like that paint color. You know, I don't like that. That's not my style. And I kind of just laugh because it's like, I don't care if you like it or not. We need to appeal to the masses. It's not about whether you like it. You're selling this. You want other people to like it. So, you know, you got to deal with it for a little bit. You know, just trust me and, you know, you'll be gone in no time.
Yeah, I just read a funny idea, and I don't actually know if this would translate into sales or not, but I was reading a real estate marketing idea list yesterday, and somebody, broker from somewhere, had a great or interesting idea where she said you should put one interesting removable object in every home. And what she does is she puts a giant Buddha statue that's kind of silly looking, and she places it, you know, somewhere in like the living room. And she just brings it from listing to listing. And she goes, the reason I do it is people remember this is silly Buddha thing. And it doesn't get in the way of somebody not wanting to buy the home. But she said, oh, it's just something that, you know, maybe if they sing five homes that day, they remember the big silly Buddha statue and the, you know, so I don't know if that's
to make your listing memorable.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of buyers and sellers, you know, what advice would you give? Cause we don't just have realtors listening. We do have buyers and sellers. And the reason I know this is because oftentimes people that we've had interviewed on the show come back to me like a month later and go, oh my God, I got a few sales. Somebody listened and then they contacted me. So for those that are listening who aren't real estate professionals, but maybe have some questions, you know, what advice would you give to them, you know, right now if they don't have a realtor that they're working with?
Yeah, of course. Well, on the buy side, you know, when you're looking for a realtor to represent you in purchasing a property, I would say the most important thing, hands down, is really get to know each other on a personal level. Yes. Make sure you like each other personally, because you're going to be working really closely together professionally. And if you don't get along personally, you know, you're not going to get along professionally. And it's not going to get any easier because you're going to be spending a lot of time together. You're going to be having a lot of, you know, personal conversations, and, you know, you're going to make difficult situations, and it's emotional, and it's a grind. So make sure you really connect on a personal level, and, you know, your interests are aligned with your agent's business practices, and, you know, ask some difficult questions, you know, before you decide you're going to work with somebody. You know, vet them to make sure, you know, you fully understand what they're going to do for you, and set expectations from the beginning. You know, do you want an agent who's only going to, have a 10-minute conversation, ask you a few questions, and set up an MLS search, and then just sit back on their heels waiting for you to click interested or not interested, or tell them you want to go look at something? No. I mean, me personally, I don't really believe in MLS searches. You know, I think that's kind of, a lazy way to go about finding properties for your agents. Sure, I have MLS searches set up for particular clients, and they go to me, and I sift through all the garbage, because I don't want to just bombard my clients with a daily email with 90% of properties. They're like, why is he sending me these properties? Why are people getting them? That's because their agent is lazy.
A lazy search.
They want to take the time. So I tell my clients, when I send them something, know that it's, you know, hand selected, and I thought it would actually be a good fit for you. And also, you want to make sure that whoever you're working with, say you're looking in the West Loop or Fulton market, make sure that they know the area.
Right.
Make sure they've done business, they've sold, they represented buyers and sellers in the area, they have their pulse on the market. And aside from MLS, you know, you want someone who's, you know, connected with other brokers, you know, amongst the industry, who has a good reputation, that shares off-market opportunities, pocket listings before they hit the market. So, you know, your agent can get you, you know, in the door before you have any competitions, avoid any multiple offers. And, you know, really at the end of the day, you want to know what they're going to do to make it happen. Sometimes there's buyers who want a really particular listing that doesn't come up often, or in a particular building that doesn't see many resales. And, you know, your agent could either sit there and look at the MLS every day, or, you know, sometimes you got to take the initiative and go, you know, scrubbing the canceled and expired listings, see who's tried to sell in the last couple of years, but maybe they didn't for whatever reason. Track down their phone number, call the sellers directly, see if they're still in the market. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody's a seller. Everything in this world's for sale for the right price.
Sure.
And, you know, that seller, maybe they're not interested. Maybe they change their mind, but they're going to remember that you took the initiative for that buyer. And when the time comes that they are ready to sell, who do you think they're going to call?
Right.
Yep. So, you know, and then on the list side too, you know, other than, you know, the same thing, just simply listing on MLS, you know, I ask sellers in listing presentations, you know, you're not just hiring somebody to list your property. You're hiring somebody to sell it and actually be there and strategically market it and keep it front and center. And you're not just sitting back waiting for the phone to ring or someone to schedule a showing and, you know, put the home on lockbox, which also is one thing that I don't believe in. You know, if somebody's hiring me to sell their home, you know, you're getting me. If it's not me, someone in my team is going to be there and actually, you know, sell the home. You know, one thing too that people overlook is, you know, you're not only selling the home, you know, you're selling a lifestyle, a quality of life. You're selling the neighborhood. So you need to know everything that's going on in the area. You know, you need to know what's in walking distance, things to do, places to eat. You know, is there new construction going on? How far from public transportation, grocery stores, you know, all attributes of the home, because they're not just buying, you know, the bricks and, you know, the actual unit. You know, you need to sell them on the location and what life would be like living in that area. And one other thing too, you know, when you're, you know, that I think is smart that all sellers should do. I think it's always smart for a seller to do a pre-MLS home inspection.
Oh, that's great.
Have your own inspection conducted before, and, you know, be proactive and identify any potential issues that a buyer is going to. Because the reality is, if you do that, sure, you'll spend a few hundred dollars on a, on a home inspection, and then you could make the fixes that others are going to find. You know, then you eliminate the buyers coming in, because
right.
the reality is they always think it's more expensive to fix something that might only, you know, be a $20 fix. They're going to ask for $200.
Right.
So you're always going to see a return on that, and you get the peace of mind that you already know the inspection.
Yeah, there's no surprises. Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, just, you know, I can't stress enough about, you know, pricing and, you know, pricing it appropriately the first time out of the gate.
Right.
And just, you know, overpricing a listing is going to backfire 10 out of 10 times.
Exactly.
You know, yes. It's just going to rack up market time. You're going to end up doing price reductions, or you're going to cancel it and relist it, though that doesn't really fool anybody because, you know, you can see the listing history.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to, you know, overpromise and underdeliver, because statistically sellers are going to get their best offer within the first 2 or 3 weeks on the market.
Yeah, no, you're so right. And again, the other reason why it backfires too is then the realtor looks like they didn't do a good job for the seller by allowing that overprice, you know, to go live. So yeah,
oh, totally. And of course, you can't avoid the sellers who, you know, are, you know, they want to try.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes we're not off by much and they want to push it a little. And sometimes, of course, depending on the inventory and the market, you know, I'll agree to do it. You know, if it's within reason, if it's an egregious, you know, stretch where I know it's completely unrealistic, you know, I'll just pass on that listing, because, you know, there's a lot of realtors out there, you know, discount brokers who will take that listing.
Sure.
And, you know, knowing that it's overpriced, but they think that they'll just be able to get price reductions. But, yeah, that's not really a, you know, the practice I like to go in there.
Well, it's a huge waste of your time, possibly, and then also,
right.
it you know, the owner is more likely to blame the realtor when it doesn't sell.
So, you know, but if it's an extra $10,000,
sure.
and I say we do it, you know, I'll do it. But, you know, we got to set the expectation at that moment and let the seller know, all right, we're going to do this, but, you know, you set a time frame. If we don't have any serious interest or offers in, we'll call it 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to scale back a little bit and remind them that we're having this conversation now. So when in 3 weeks I tell you we need to reduce the price, you know, don't think it's because I can't sell it or that it was my fault.
Right. Yeah. You have
maybe
to say that.
Maybe even get that in writing.
Yeah. That's true. And what do you think distinguishes you and your business, your practice from the, gosh, almost 40,000 other realtors in the Chicagoland area? How would you answer that?
Now, I think, you know, people are so focused on the actual real estate, they overlook the human element and the people. And you got to remember, this is a relationship business. And I think clients really appreciate my brutal honesty, authenticity, you know, patience, and, you know, tenacity, and my follow through. And, you know, really, I just, you know, whether looking with a buyer or a seller, you know, I make it a point, you know, I don't tell my clients necessarily what they want to hear, but I tell them what they need to hear. You know, I'm not just going to try to sell them on a property to make a quick sale. You know, although we are in the sales business, you know, buyers and sellers, they don't necessarily, you know, want to be sold when making such a huge, you know, life-changing decision in their life. You know, they want to know that their agent is, you know, genuinely looking out for their best interest and, you know, not just looking to make a quick sale and move on to the next deal. And, you know, it's unfortunate, so many, you know, realtors in our industry, we have a stigma for being pushy and salesy. And I think my clients really just find it refreshing to learn that that's not how I conduct my business. And, you know, I'm not in their face all the time, and I'm not just trying to make a commission. But at the same time, you know, I'm ready to move as quickly as they are when the time is right, when the property's right. You know, I'm not afraid to tell them, you know, no, I don't care if you're busy. We need to go see this now. This is exactly what you want. You know, if you don't see it, you're going to miss out on it. So, you know, I think you just, you know, being totally candid and honest and genuine. And lastly, you know, when working with buyers too, you know, you got to be respectful of their time. You know, I'm not just going to take a buyer out and show them 10 properties when I know they're, you know, genuinely only going to like 2 or 3, or maybe, you know, only a few of them are going to check most of the boxes that they want to see. If I'm going to take a buyer out and there's only a few we're going to see, we're only going to see, you know, there are only a few that really work for this particular client. and I think have legitimate interest in being the one, we're only going to see those. I'm not going to waste my time and waste my clients' time showing them, you know, 10 properties just to appease them and say, oh, well, we saw 10 properties. So, you know, I think you really need to be respectful of people's time because, you know, as busy as I am, my buyers are busy too. And, you know, you only want to put properties in front of them that really have the potential to be the one.
Yeah. And I'll also give you an additional compliment to where I suspect this translates to your clients as well is in prepping for this podcast, I will tell you that, and we've interviewed about 80 top 1% producers. And I can say, and my memory is not great, but Josh is almost certainly, came the most prepared of anyone that we've ever had on the show. And just the amount of information he provided to us, helped make my job a lot easier, than sometimes, you know, other realtors make it. And so I will tell you that if he puts this amount of care in, and I know he does, into his clients, that's really impressive. I was saying right before we got on, I said, oh my gosh, I was heaping praise on him for all the work he did for us. So, yeah, I'd hire you. So, well,
let's talk off air. Now it's all about the details. You know, it's what I do. It's why I love this job. And, you know, just as no two clients are the same, no two properties are the same, and no two listing strategies are the same, and, you know, I present properties differently, and, you know, each day is a new challenge and a new adventure and a new fire drill.
That's
oftentimes
true.
So, you know, but it keeps it exciting, and, you know, I wouldn't trade for anything.
And I've one final question for you because you're at Compass. We've only because Compass is still relatively new to the Chicago market. I mean, they're killing it here and pretty much anywhere they've opened up shop. But we've only had a couple of Compass people, so I'm always excited to hear from somebody who's moved to Compass. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided on Compass and what your experience has been so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved over to Compass last April, crazy. It's almost coming up on a year here in a couple months. You know, at the time, I wasn't looking to be frank.
Sure.
But you know, I of course took the meeting, had some conversations, and you know, kind of learned what it's all about. And you know, it turns out that you know my business practices and you know, the way I conduct my business and you know where I see my business going is just, you know, totally aligned with Compass and what they're doing. Obviously, you know, now we have almost 600 agents in Chicago and, you know, we're in dozens of markets. And, you know, what I love about them too, aside from their, you know, our platform and our technology, just, you know, basically a one-stop shop platform to conduct business. And, you know, not only do they make it more efficient and, you know, free up my time, you know, to focus on what I do best, and that's, you know, selling and developing business and networking. But you know, they're just so forward thinking and, you know, no idea is too big. And obviously we're moving very fast and you know, our values are totally aligned, and there's just, you'll come to the office, it's fun. There's tons of energy and, you know, people really enjoy being here and everyone's, you know, thinking big and outside the box and everyone's collaborating and, you know, we're kind of all on this mission together and, it's exciting and, you know, nothing surprises me at this company. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, tomorrow I wake up and find out that, you know, X, Y, or Z realtor has come over or, you know, Amazon bought us. Who knows? Like, you know, nothing's off limits.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, you got to think big and they totally embrace it. And it's been exciting and I'm having fun.
Yeah, just to give you a benchmark, so the company I work at, so what I do full time is I recruit realtors, not for Compass, for a different firm, but it took me doing this literally full time 5 years to grow to from zero to 600 brokers, and for Compass to come in and do it in like 1 year or 2 years maybe is absolutely incredible, and that's why I'm so interested to hear, you know, about your switch over there, because obviously they must have a lot of really compelling, cool stuff. So if brokers are listening, you know, you can always reach out to Josh to get more.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm, you know, happy to share my experience. I'm not trying to poach any agents here, let me be clear. Because again, you know, it's great for me. It might not be for everybody.
But
I'm happy to share my experience and how it's, you know, helped me.
Yeah. Well, they're doing some cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, like I said, you know, I came from Jameson Sotheby's.
Sure.
You know, I have nothing but respect for those guys over there.
It's great company.
It's a great brokerage. Yes. You know, run from the top down with Chris and Mike and Jim, and you know, it was a business decision. It was nothing personal, and you know, no, we're still friends to this day. And you know, they respect my decision, and I wish them nothing but the best.
And for anyone listening, whether you're you know, a realtor who's interested in learning more about you know Josh's team, which is, by the way, we should mention, is called Lipton Luxury Living, or if you're interested in learning more about Compass, or if you're a buyer and sell or seller or an investor or a renter or anyone who is like, gosh, I really don't have a great real estate professional that and I need one, or I want to develop a relationship so that when I do need one, I have somebody. Josh, what's the best way someone can reach out to you?
My cell phone, call, text, anytime. That number is 312-504-5409. And my email is jl@compass.com.
So yeah. So
and on that note with
go ahead.
My team, I actually, you know, we talked briefly about this, DJ. You know, I am looking to hire and bring on a couple, you know, showing agents to join my team and, you know, collaborate together and work together and mentor and, you know, support me, but also support them and be a resource in any way possible. So any newer agents out there, you know, looking to be busier, take on more and, you know, get some more experience, give me a call.
And by the way, you know, who wouldn't want to learn from one of Crane's Chicago's most influential residential real estate brokers? I mean, I don't even mean that it being, you know, sort of a flip or being silly. Like that is a legitimately amazing credential. So if you're out there and you are thinking about, you know, wanting to team up or learn from someone, boy, Josh has a lot of really impressive accolades in his short 5 years in the business, and you know, not the least of which the amazing amount of production he's done, but just some of the other you know sort of acknowledgments he's received in the industry is very, very impressive. And I was super grateful to just have run into you accidentally, and because typically, you know, look, 99% of the time, if I ran into a realtor, I probably wouldn't have them on the show because they're not in the top 1%. And it just so happened that you, of course, are. And so we're so grateful that, and also, by the way, Josh is too busy to even do these kind of shows, and yet he found time for us. So says a lot about him as a person and his character. And also, we're just very grateful. So if you're, whether you're a realtor, you're looking to maybe, you know, make a switch, talk to Josh, or if you're a buyer, seller, investor, renter, obviously he would be honored to talk to you as well and tell you more about what he offers. You should also follow on Instagram. You can just do a search for Lipton Luxury Living, but it the actual URL is Lipton_luxury_living at Instagram, but just search for it. You'll find it. Also, Josh's website is LiptonLuxuryLiving.com. So you can find him there. We'll post all these links in the notes. So Josh, I want to thank you for being on the show. This is a real honor for us. And just so everyone knows, Josh was on our invite list from day one, and we just hadn't got to him yet. So this is like really, really perfect timing.
Just playing a little hard to get. I told you, DJ. It was planned out perfectly to perfection. You know, it was meant to go.
Well, it works out great. And I there was so much value in this episode, and I'm going to go back and highlight some of the techniques and strategies you outlined to make sure I highlight them in the notes so that people can take action on those immediately. But anyway, on behalf of Josh and myself, thank you so much for listening. If you are a new listener, please pass this podcast over to other brokers that you know. If you're an existing longtime listener, we appreciate it. And send in your questions. You know, continue to support us. Find us on Facebook, our website, you know, iTunes, Google Play, all those places. So anyway, on behalf of Josh and myself, thank you for listening. And we will see you on the next show. And Josh, thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me, DJ. Anytime. Mm-hmm.